we've really created this environment and this culture of growth and potential here, and encouraging and empowering individuals that it's never too late to try something new. And so being able to come alongside them, encourage their excitement for something new, and then allow them to learn and really have that power of knowledge to navigate technology has been really impactful.
These capabilities are going to accelerate very rapidly because of the AI improvement curves. So I would expect, as we look a decade down the road, we're going to see robots as part of that mix watching over us as well.
Hi there, welcome back. It's our latest episode of This Day and Age, where we continue to bring together experts in all things aging, providing vital information to help you and your loved ones make confident decisions while navigating this thing called life. And I am your host, Phil Tower. It's always good to be back with you. And I thought I'd begin this episode with a quote. This is from a computer scientist, because we're going to be talking about tech. Computer scientist Alan Kay, who once said, technology, and I love this quote, technology is anything that wasn't around when you were born. And it's pretty accurate. And when you hear the words technology and aging, you might not typically think about putting them together. But boy, do we have a reason to talk about them today. We're doing just that as we welcome Keith Brophy, COO with Mentavi Health ADHD Online. Also, Jesse Riley. Jesse is the resident technology manager here at Holland Home. They are both here to talk about how technology and innovation will not only impact the senior healthcare arena, but play a key role in supporting how the growing aging population is cared for. I should actually say are already playing a key role and is already playing a key role. First of all, to my right, for those keeping score at home, is the one and only Jesse Riley, Technology Manager at Holland Home. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
And to my left is Keith Brophy. Keith, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you both a chance to introduce yourself to our listeners. I don't know a lot about Mentavi Health, ADHD Online, but I know you are an expert of this area of tech. What about your background, Keith? What do you do there? I know you're chief operations officer, but what is your company all about?
That's right. At Mentavi Health, ADHD Online, I'm the chief operating officer, and our focus is mental health, telehealth, particularly ADHD, but increasingly looking at other related conditions as well. And that focus does include a senior population as well as a younger population. Most of my career has been devoted to technology. I've launched a couple of technology companies, and one of the most interesting steps along my journey related to senior technology is I led up a Medicare Technology Innovations Lab for a large insurance payer.
There are always questions about that, and technology is a big part of it. Thank you so much, and we're glad to have you here. Jesse Riley, talk about your role as resident technology manager here at Holland Home.
Absolutely. So it's been my privilege to serve at Holland Home as a resident technology manager for the past 4 years. And in my role here, it's kind of multifaceted. So one level of things that I do is research and implementation of innovative technologies that really help our residents age healthfully and well, regardless of where they are in the continuum of care. And then additionally, I really focus on technology education, and that can be from a one-on-one standpoint or developing technology curriculum for residents as well. So every day is a little bit different, and really digging in and making sure that technology becomes a vital and meaningful role in the lives of those we serve is what I get to do every day.
Well, and I think it's important to recognize and to celebrate the fact that Holland Home has a resident technology manager. You're not Jesse, call Jesse in IT. This is
right.
A unique role.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think that this role really does lend itself to how forward thinking Holland Home is and how innovative they are, you know, what an innovative leader they are in the industry, not only in this area, but across the country as well.
You know, we've been busting a lot of misconceptions for both of you on this podcast, talking about a lot of things when it comes to misconceptions about people living in the last quarter of their life. And this one is perfect because there are a lot of misconceptions about seniors and technology. We think about anxiety. We think about that. I think we have older adults, the adult children of seniors who are more concerned about this than ever because of scams, because of artificial intelligence, because of a lot of things. But that general misperception that we talked about, that seniors are out of touch when it comes with tech. Mm-hmm. You've seen this firsthand, Jesse, and I'm going to have you weigh in as well, Keith. Cool. Talk about that, if you will.
So, there's always this misconception that, you know, older adults are afraid of technology, that they're completely out of touch. And that may have been in the past, but certainly the data in this present day really is quite the opposite. And older adults are showing an appetite for technology now that they never have before. So in 2020 and 2021, we saw this like incredible drive towards technology introduction and adoption among older adults. And that was for obvious reasons because of the pandemic. And so then there was question like, what's going to happen after that? Is that just going to kind of taper off as things change? But then we saw in 2022 and 2023 now that early adoption has now really morphed into established habit. And so now they are utilizing technology at a much higher rate than they ever have before. And actually in the 2023 AARP tech report, they started off their entire report saying that there's no end in sight for the 50 plus tech market. So I think that's really speaks to the power behind this group and their interest. But at the same time, with all this tech growth, there's a real steep learning curve for these individuals. And so they're trying to learn and metabolize all of this as fast as they can, because they don't have the intuitive background of growing up with it. So they're at a disadvantage with that. I think specifically speaking to the individuals here at Holland Home that I get to work with, is that we've really created this environment and this culture of growth and potential here, and encouraging and empowering individuals that it's never too late to try something new. And so being able to come alongside them, encourage their excitement for something new, and then allow them to learn and really have that power of knowledge to navigate technology has been really impactful.
Keith Ruffy, what are you seeing with regard to this once held belief that seniors were kind of not tech savvy? How's it impacting your world at Mentavi Health?
So much of it is the art and the science of introducing the technology and rolling it out in the correct way. And I think a role like Jesse's is a sign of the way it should be done all across the industry. And that's the best of breed approach, the focus on innovation and deploying it. There's always been kind of a myth about the acceptance of technology for seniors. A number of years ago, about a decade ago, I was the CEO of a company called Ideomed, doing chronic condition mobile applications for care teams and patients. And we'd innovated that for children with asthma. And then we decided to do a pilot for seniors that were in the hospital getting discharged with heart conditions. And all of the medical experts that we consulted, or most of them, said there's no way they'll ever adopt this. It was an optional opt-in. It was the 80-year-olds just will not opt in to taking a mobile app for their heart health when they go home. And they could not have been more wrong. We had extremely high adoption. Fast forward a number of years later at the insurance company Innovation Lab, we did a pilot with virtual reality for pain management for a senior population. And again, many of the experts said there's no way this will be adopted. At the end of the pilot, the seniors did not even want to give up the technology, and it had terrific results. So we tend to overestimate the resistance and underestimate what can be accomplished with good rollout. That said, one other thing I wanted to note is even with the best rollout and intentions, it doesn't always work. When my mother was in an assisted living home, I bought her an artificial intelligence-driven dog, a small robot dog that would...
You did.
And it was wonderful. It would adapt to behavior. The more you touched it, the friendlier it would get. It would randomly bark. It would cuddle with you. It adjusted its behavior. I gave that to my mom with a lot of fanfare because she'd loved dogs her whole life.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fuzzy. It looked like a real dog. And after she watched a bit of it and I explained a bit, she said, no, you can turn that off. And then I was leaving. She said, oh, you can take your dog with you. And I said, no, Mom, it's for you. Like, you can leave it on all the time. And she said, I don't really need a dog here. And so what I had thought was a brilliant rollout of technology to, you know, help my mother from feeling isolated in her assisted living environment turned out to be a clunker.
Yeah. I love the story, though. That's a lot of bravery on your part. And at least the effort, you get an A for the effort, indeed. You know, for both of you guys, as we talk about this adoption for older adults and tech, there's also a FOMO, fear of missing out. They see younger generations. They don't want to be left behind. And so there's a real strong, almost an innate desire. You know, I want to be able to FaceTime with my kids so I can see my grandkids. But let's talk about some of the other challenges in there. There often are access gaps and the other adults who maybe are a little slower to adopt the new technology. How are newer technologies being designed? And I'd love to have you both weigh in on this to not only help with those laggards, but to be thinking about the future, because obviously there's a great opportunity here. Mm-hmm. It's all coming down to marketing and certainly a segment. Great opportunity to reach these folks, these older adults who are getting to be larger numbers every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting question because, you know, there is a high interest among the older adult user to bring on more technology. And we know that the average older adult, 50 plus, has at least 6 devices in their home that they're utilizing. 98% of them have one that they primarily utilize. Most of the time, that's a smartphone. But regardless of all of those, 2 in 5 older adults feel the technology wasn't designed with them in mind. So they're trying to keep up with something that wasn't designed with them in mind. And then they cite, like, it's too complex. There's insufficient instructions, there's poor user experience. So they feel like from beginning to end, they were really left out of it. Whereas the younger generation, 18 to 29, they feel it was absolutely designed for them. So you have kind of those contrasts there. So companies are really being pushed to factor in some components for successful solution and device design. You know, key elements for that age-inclusive device include identifying the most pressing need for the demographic. Older adults are far more likely to adopt devices and solutions that address a need in their life versus a want. And they come with a lot of buying power. So in 2022, the average spend was about $912, which is up 130% from pre-pandemic levels. So they come ready to spend some money on technology if it can align with what they need. In addition to it needing to be user-friendly, you know, the older adult needs to be engaged in the whole development process from ideation of the solution all the way through marketing so that you can ensure if you have an engineer creating something, they're not necessarily a gerontologist who can see it through that lens. So engaging older adults in the design process. And then the last one, which is my personal favorite, is that the solutions really need to attribute to an active lifestyle and not necessarily in the vein of only feeding towards sort of the disabled elderly individual. There's so much potential out there for technology that older adults are seeking, but it's not necessarily, you know, the I've fallen and I can't get up technology.
The day and age of an older adult being satisfied with a Cricket phone are
right.
Those are few and far between because they're looking at the other available tech there. Not only that, there are more companies making those types of smartphones and tablets.
Yeah.
And it's more affordable, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. Keith Brophy, I'd like you to talk about that in terms of Mentavi Health ADHD Online. Talk about how new technology is impacting your area of caring for seniors, especially with respect to mental health.
We put a great deal of emphasis in our software that users interact with to a easy to interact with user experience, you know, intuitive, simple, straightforward. And this is, I believe, the biggest factor lacking in the user interfaces in general in terms of senior appropriateness. I expect that someday we'll get to the point where most every application, just as an application typically has a mode or a configuration today where you can get it in English or Spanish, will have a mode where you can get the senior targeted version versus the adult versus the youth-targeted version. The design often does reflect the age of the designer. I've spent my career leading software development teams and designer teams and product teams. And unless you're very intentional, as Jesse outlined, with all the way through end-to-end from design to development to test, you end up with something that reflects the sensibilities of the designer, including their age. So it takes a lot of work to infuse that. Yeah. But marketeers of the world are starting to realize, with the aging baby boomer population, they're limiting themselves from a significant market by not paying attention to that.
Yeah, that's great insight, Keith. I'm really glad you shared that, because they do need to be thinking about that user experience for an older adult. Different way of processing things, just like they may have done math differently than their children and grandchildren do math, or done something differently, or used a checkbook. You know, obviously things have changed, but looking at the way they interface with tech and become comfortable adopting tech, which is kind of where we're headed in this part of our conversation. I wanted to talk about that adoption curve, because we talked about the fear of missing out, about people saying, I need this, I'm going to spend to get a better computer. Mm-hmm. And it is more than just a smartphone. It's a laptop. They may even be looking at an Apple Watch, mm-hmm, or some type of a smartwatch, because, as you said, and that's a great insight, Jesse, they want tech to fit one of their needs. Maybe they like to walk. They need to measure their, yep, steps. I remember being in the Apple store about a year ago. My wife and I were in there, and we suddenly, I looked up, and I have a mind like this where I go, look at around this table. The majority of people here are over 75. It was, yeah, really interesting. It was right after the holiday. Yeah. And it was a lot of older adults with their older adult parents, mm-hmm, helping them pick out an iPhone or an Apple Watch or maybe an iPad. And it really became a family thing, and a lot of excitement and anticipation, yeah, but a little bit of hesitancy is as, mm-hmm, well there too. But absolutely, let's talk about that adoption curve. How have you seen that change in the 4+ years you've been with Holland Home?
Yeah, it's been interesting. When I first came on board, there were a lot of, you know, really basic questions. I just got this iPad, and so I'm just looking to kind of figure out how do I turn this on? You know, oftentimes we get, my kids bought this for me, I don't know how to turn it on. We get that a lot with Amazon Echo devices. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? But what I've seen over the last few years is just this increase in complexity of questions, which shows this incredible growth in their learning and their excitement and just their personal implementation of technology within their home. Typically, what we find is that adoption of technology among older adult users really falls onto like this core value system. The three values that continually rank at the top: one, social connectedness, that ability to connect with your loved ones, with your family, with your friends, whether that's text messaging, video calling. Staying connected is what drives individuals, Holland Home and beyond, to utilize technology. And we saw that clearly during the pandemic. The second core value is education, that lifelong learning element, and entertainment. How can I utilize technology to learn more, to continue to further my extracurricular activities? How can I use this as a vehicle to learn? And then third is maintaining that independent and healthy lifestyle. So those Apple Watches to monitor your health. When, you know, in our fitness centers, we have technology-enabled exercise equipment and heart rate monitors that residents can put on, and that records right into their Vibrant Living app. And so the adoption success rates really factor into how well does that fit into their value system. And again, if it's something that they perceive as a need in their life, they're going to go full with it. And that's where we see the most success.
I want to talk about, by the way, we're having a full-on tech conversation on this episode, mm-hmm, of This Day and Age with Keith Brophy, COO with Mentavi Health, ADHD Online. Also, Jesse Riley, she is the resident technology manager here at Holland Home, as we look at the intersection of tech and innovation and how they are really significantly impacting the senior healthcare arena and how that is continuing to improve the care and all aspects of caring for this growing, aging population. Keith, I want to go back to you and talk about the way you are using technology. You had mentioned earlier telehealth and mental health. If you could just look at maybe the average person you interface with, and that would be an older adult with Mentavi Health ADHD Online, what are the ways that tech is making that experience in interacting with your company a better experience and a better overall experience for them?
Well, we treat all ages at Mentavi, but as I mentioned, we have a clear subset that are the older demographic. And it's interesting because we've had feedback sometimes in you know, describing the company, the assumptions that we probably don't really have an older constituency. The mental wellness need is huge in senior ranks. You know, fortunately, approaches like the Mentavi approach can service that need. The telehealth boomed during COVID.
Absolutely.
It had to boom during COVID so people could still have access to care. Some of the research shows that now that we're post-COVID, that many are turning back to traditional forms of care. But at the same time, the convenience and the efficiency, both time efficiency and cost efficiency of telehealth have been well established. So part of the evolution now of the approach is in these same paradigms of ease of use, ease of access to telehealth, making sure that seniors that might want to access healthcare through telehealth have an easy path to get there. There's health monitoring devices now that can accompany telehealth approaches. Those are becoming increasingly prevalent. And the last thing I wanted to mention is data. We live in a world of data and capabilities to take that data and synthesize it and predict health arcs and help guide insights into one's health. This age we're in of monitors and telehealth sessions coupled with data gives the providers an incredible ability to understand where their patients at in their health journey.
Yeah, it's great insight. That data is fueling even more innovation and more learning down the road. Jesse, I want to talk about, we're in 2023. Generationally, seniors have changed significantly. Yeah. The 75-year-old from today is not the same 75-year-old from 1983.
Right.
There's no question about that. The incoming group of seniors has definitely had more interaction and experience with tech than any generation before them. But how do you stay ahead of the curve for them 5-10 years down the road? Yeah. You've always got to be thinking about that. Can you talk about that in terms of what you are anticipating and maybe planning for the thing you don't even know is going to be here in 5 years?
Absolutely.
No pressure, Jesse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no pressure. So, no, absolutely. And it's something that we're always staying really aware of and making sure that we are setting ourselves up for success organizationally so that we can be successful. Because what we know of the incoming older adults is that they're not coming with just sort of, oh, geez, I might be interested. There is a strong expectation that when they come in, there will be wireless networks ready. They'll be able to digitally connect with the community. Things will be paperless and instant. What they're experiencing at home, they would expect, you know, out in the community at large, they would expect to experience that here within our community. So we are working, you know, every day to identify solutions that will be able to meet the need for the foreseeable future and be able to allow us to meet those expectations, because that really does create a market differentiator between us and the next community down the road. And then additionally, families are looking for a more digital experience so that they can have a more informed and involved experience when their loved one is being cared for in a higher level of care. So it really does kind of, again, we don't have a crystal ball. We can't say exactly what people are going to want, but knowing current day, what the expectations are, and then looking at those values. What are people, how are they utilizing technology, and where do those values factor in? That helps us lead towards a really successful path so that we can make sure to be well positioned, that when those individuals come in, we already have systems in place to meet those needs.
That expectation of broadband, can I get a signal from my cellular provider? All those things.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, as we used to laugh, they're as essential as water and electricity today. And certainly generationally for everybody, they are important.
Yeah.
And when you look at all of the impact of tech, then you add on to that this avalanche, this surge of an aging population, everyone getting older, the fact that those 65-year-olds are going to soon outnumber the 18-year-olds in this country. How do you look at that, that really big change generationally and just the change in demographics in terms of the demand for tech and beyond? And I'll have you both address that. I'll start with you, Jesse, and then you, Keith. I'd like to have you weigh in on that as well, that aging population, a shrinking working age population, and what role does tech play in all of that?
So, you know, obviously tech would play a pivotal role in all of that. You know, the future of senior living and just the service for older adults will really require a significant level of automation among systems within our organization and in all of the senior living industry. It increases that automation, but it also has to simplify the user experience. We don't want people to have to, staff to have to enter information multiple times in different systems. We want to be able to streamline that so that they can get back out on the floor and support the individuals that they're caring for. You know, when we hire individuals to care for residents, it's because their gifts and caring and those talents that they have. So getting them from behind the desk back out working and interacting with our residents is really impactful. So we want to make sure that as we continue to build our solutions, that as automated as it can be is absolutely the best. And we see preventative and predictive tech being a significant part of making that happen. As Keith was mentioning before, you know, it's being able to see, is there potential for some type of system breakdown here? How can we help to prevent that? And then through predictive solutions, okay, are we looking at, you know, habits? Is this individual getting up more in the night to go to the bathroom? Are they getting up later in the morning? Mm-hmm. And how can that all filter back in so that we can provide the best care at the end of the day to all those that we serve?
Preventative tech, it's an interesting term, probably a new term for the listeners of this podcast. I'm going to have each of you try to, I guess that would be something that exists to help monitor a situation of somebody to help potentially avoid a fall, avoid a future health incident. Keith, I see you nodding your head. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Preventative tech is, as the name implies, taking kind of proactive steps to prevent adverse reactions. And it's used in a wide area of senior healthcare stewardship. Fall prevention is a classic one. There's a number of approaches that try to prevent falls using technology. Another example is an initiative I was involved with in some of my prior activities before Mentavi, using machine learning and AI during COVID, for example, to target high-risk seniors that had specific at-risk indicators ranging from isolation to clinical conditions, other factors that made them highly susceptible to COVID. And the goal was to serve them up with different types of information that pertain to that subsegment of the senior population. So we used a machine learning AI approach so we could push out a stream of messaging that was appropriate to those seniors.
That word makes a lot of people nervous, though. It is the buzzword of this year and has been the last couple of years, AI, artificial intelligence. Are there some other incoming tech trends? Obviously, AI is a big one that you see both positively benefiting adults and maybe with a little bit of apprehension or pushback. Your mom didn't like the AI power dog.
That's
even
right.
I give you a lot of credit for at least the thought.
Yeah.
I would like to have you in our final conversation on this issue of tech and older adults. Talk about some of the other incoming tech trends you see down the road. Obviously, there are a lot of benefits to AI. Some people bristle at it, but there are a lot of positive things that can come out of that predictive technology is essentially what that is an example of. Jesse, can you talk a little bit about that in terms of what else you're seeing come down the pipe?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, AI is kind of a broad term and it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. And for a lot of individuals coming up to speed with technology, what it means to them is just a whole world of unknown that makes them very apprehensive, and they don't want people getting more information about them than they need to because they're afraid of getting scammed. But by arming people with more knowledge about what it is and the positive impacts that it can have. And we're always talking with residents about, you know, the benefits versus the risks. And we do a lot of scam education. And I always think by the time I get done with the class, I'm like, okay, don't go home and throw your computer out the window. This is still like, this is really beneficial. The benefits far outweigh the risk. Knowledge is power in this sense. So it's really the same with AI. It's just understanding it better and then utilizing what is meaningful and beneficial in your own home. So if that is utilizing Alexa and some smart plugs to, you know, turn your light on so that when you're getting up in the night to use the restroom, you don't fall down, then that's what works for you. We serve such a diverse group of individuals and such a wide range. I mean, you mentioned earlier, we have, you know, you have an older adult child that's helping a mother, and we have, you know, we have both parents and children living at Holland Home at the same time. So it's really a unique perspective there. But people just utilizing what works best for them. And so the predictive technology is changing all the time. They're using radar, so that it used to be if you wanted some predictive technology in your home, there needed to be cameras, and then people felt crazy about that because you're being watched all the time and who wants that. And so now there are these sensors you can put on the wall, and through radar it detects your routines and patterns, and so it's far less intrusive and still provides this incredible data log of your day-to-day activity to help predict if something is going wrong. So yeah. I think it really is just specific to the individual, and knowledge is power truly in all technology, but certainly with AI.
One thing I'd like to add when considering this tidal wave of aging baby boomers, which makes for the largest demographic of seniors in our nation's history, is that mental health issues and mental wellness is rising to the forefront as a concern as well. At the top of the list for seniors is the issue of isolation. Now, many of these technologies we've discussed can aid in potentially preventing or stewarding isolation. Some of them, in theory, could increase it. But there's a number of approaches to identify and surround the senior population using technology that may face the adverse consequences of isolation. On an interesting flip side, the nation's Surgeon General recently made an unusual warning about the dangers of social media addiction for youth. And although social media addiction is not a diagnosed condition today, it correlates very tightly to anxiety and depression. Now, the Surgeon General's focus was on childhood population, but the same could apply to senior population. Social media, which can be seen as an answer to isolation, can also bring on anxiety and depression and increasing sense of isolation. So there's a whole new range of issues around mental wellness that need to be addressed in technology via monitoring, surfacing relevant data, surfacing relevant, positively designed, senior-friendly social lifting applications and other ways of connecting will be part of the answer. The last part of this look at the journey ahead is the role of robots in senior care. That's not really established here in the United States, but for many, many years it's been active in Japan. The robots continue to be expensive, They're used in select cases in Japan, primarily lifting, but they're used and they provide valuable help. One of the reasons that experts say the robots gain traction in Japan for senior care above anywhere else in the world is essentially that Japan has a robot-friendly society within their culture. Even among older generations, robots are well-established, whereas in our culture, we would most of us tend to be leery of a robot coming over to pick us up. But these capabilities, like the others we've talked about, are going to accelerate very rapidly because of the AI improvement curves. So I would expect, as we look a decade down the road, we're going to see robots as part of that mix watching over us as well.
I have to ask this, Keith, as we wrap up this conversation on tech and older adults. Do you see, as we look at incoming tech and trends of helping older adults, do you see that day and age where an older adult that you're working with for some kind of a treatment will be wearing a VR headset potentially? I can see applications for that. Or am I maybe thinking a little too futuristically?
I definitely see that coming. AI is undergoing a huge acceleration. It's been around forever. I did a senior project in AI back in college, and that was quite some time ago. But for various reasons, it's a slope of advancement is soaring. And I think that brings downside, but a lot of good. One thing it will bring us, in addition to the VR headsets, is what I like to call Aunt Joanne on your shoulder. Probably everybody has an Aunt Joanne in their family. In my family, when I was a kid, it was my aunt who is a nurse, and the whole family would call her up for advice. And we'll be at the point where the kind of wisdom in my Aunt Joanne is available just 24/7 all around you. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to mention that will be a really interesting sign of coming of advanced age will be that classic can they still drive situation.
Absolutely.
It's going to shift. It's a hard situation when you have to face up to whether you should tell your parents not to drive any longer. Mm-hmm. But the Tesla is expected to come out with its fully automated robo-taxi in 2025. And then you can get in without a driver and go anywhere. Yeah. When you couple that with tracking and monitoring devices, it's conceivable that people can be totally mobile and not require assistance to travel vast distances and have their family and caretakers know where they are. So the choice is probably going to shift from should you drive anymore to maybe in our 90s, maybe in our 100s. Should you still independently go into a robo-taxi with your tracking device and go about your business? But It's a changing world no matter how you look at it.
And for everyone listening to this podcast with an older parent that might be at that point where you think about, are they safe to drive anymore? Wouldn't it be interesting if you could push that off onto the car itself and the car would tell your parents you can't drive anymore? I don't think that day is too far away. Keith Brophy.
It's not, and that will be so much easier when the car can tell your parents that.
What a great way to pass that off. Jesse Riley, any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with in terms of tech and older adults?
Never underestimate what you're capable of. So if you're interested in it and there is a way, then definitely there's so much benefit behind technology. Just go after it and utilize the benefits that come from it.
Great words of wisdom. Thank you so much. Those are the words of Jesse Riley, resident tech manager here at Holland Home. We also heard from, in this episode, Keith Brophy, COO with Montavi Health ADHD Online. And as we wrap up this pretty all-encompassing conversation on older adults and tech, I want to leave you with the words of the legendary Albert Einstein, who decades ago, and this is a long time ago, said of tech, it has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity 80-some years ago. Let's hope we're not there yet, and we'll all be mindful of those words as well. I want to encourage you, our listeners, to stay tuned. Be sure to check back on future episodes of This Day and Age as we continue to dive deeper into topics affecting the growing aging population in future episodes. In the meantime, we encourage you to visit thisdayandage.com. That's thisdayandage.com, so you can catch up on all of our previous episodes and make sure you subscribe. And would you please share this podcast with family and friends so they can stay informed and make confident decisions as they age. And once again, for This Day and Age, I'm your host, Phil Tower. Thank you for listening.